This podcast is brought to you by Gainbridge. Gainbridge offers annuities designed for the digital age, simplified products with guaranteed returns that you can buy online. Learn more at gainbridge.life/WSJ. Not available in all states.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Goldman Sachs is about to throw open the doors and let developers have access to coding it uses to set the prices of things like derivatives and assess risk. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Average mortgage rates have come down to near 4%, and that has sparked a boom of sorts refinancing. In fact, the Mortgage Bankers Association says the mortgage application volume jumped 18% last week from a week earlier. But many in the industry feel if you're looking to refinance, you should strike while the iron is hot. The current low mortgage rates were just as low back in January of last year and could cycle upward all over again. And check out Wall Street Journal Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney's newest piece that focuses on whether you should buy travel insurance before taking a trip. McCartney says that while signing up for travel insurance might provide peace of mind for passengers, it turns out travel insurers write a lot of gotchas in most policies, especially, as he says, the inexpensive insurance sold through airlines and online travel agencies. Scott says many travelers find the coverage they thought they had really doesn't cover them at all, or the coverage is redundant as airlines will reimburse costs in some situations and credit cards offer some forms of travel insurance themselves. See Scott's full column at WSJ.com or the WSJ app.
This episode is supported by Gainbridge, high-rate, low-fuss annuities. Annuities get a bad rap. Some think they're too conservative, too complex, or only for retirees. But when you strip away the bells and whistles, annuities can be a smart choice for steady growth. Gainbridge aims to change the game by offering simplified annuities in a sleek, digital experience, replacing fine print and phone tag with clear conditions and a direct, low-fee model. Buy online at gainbridge.life/WSJ. Not available in all states.
A big bank's trading engine and proprietary data that would determine how much a derivative should cost used to be coveted information that could make traders a lot of money. Well, now in the case of Goldman Sachs, that information is going to be available to people outside the bank. And Wall Street Journal reporter Liz Hoffman is here with some details. So Liz, now Goldman's proprietary trading engine was a real asset at one time. It helped it and traders get through the 2008 financial crisis, as you point out in your story. But the laws have changed.
Yeah, so to really understand the story, you have to go all the way back to the 1990s. And Goldman built something they called Securities Database, called it SecDB, and it was the brains of the trading operation. So would take in data from across the firm about what things were priced at, you know, where there was a lot of activity, what was happening. And that sounds like table stakes now. It was a really big deal then. And so that made Goldman just a ton of money in the 90s and the 2000s and helped them, yes, you're right, stay out of as much trouble as others got into in 2007 and 2008. The world is very different now. So you cannot proprietary trade anymore after the financial crisis. What that means is that Goldman can't take information that it sees from clients and sort of and use that to make money itself.
Oh,
so they have
I
this
see.
Really valuable thing, and in, you know, there's two ways to make money off something. You can use it and try to make money on yourself, or you can sell it to clients. And they're effectively trying to sell this to clients as a service.
So like a lot of other banks, Goldman has been serving portfolio managers and traders, and now they're serving developers by letting them more or less enter this database and providing them with some code to allow them to have access to some of the data?
So if you're at a hedge fund, you used to have to pick up the phone, you'd call your salesperson at Goldman and say, hey, can you give me a spreadsheet with all of the healthcare companies where, you know, some factor, where the stock's been going up quickly or where they've had a change of management, I want to bet on those companies. And the trader would call over one of his nerds and he would say, can you run this data for me and send it back? And then they would send it back to the client. And that's a really time-intensive and expensive process for Goldman. And it's also just increasingly not how hedge funds want to get that data. So hedge funds and other big asset managers have been hiring, you know, coders for themselves. And those guys want to be able to knock on the door on their own and to send what queries to the database and say, all right, I'm going to send this line of code, and it's going to ask for that same spreadsheet, but it's going to do it instantaneously, and I'm going to get that right back in a form that I understand and that I can monkey around with to get the sort of trading results that I want.
Okay, so it takes some legwork out of the process.
Absolutely, and some costs. And, that's a very error-prone process that involves a lot of people. And, if you want to make a change to it, the whole thing has to start all over. When you do this digitally, it's much, much smoother.
And Goldman's not doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
No.
They will still own the data, and they'll make money off of it.
They will. Wall Street in general, I think, in the last couple of years has taken a look at Silicon Valley, where just huge amounts of value have been created, trillions of dollars of value. And tech firms—
You made a good comparison about Amazon in your
story.
Yeah,
so exactly right. So about 15 years ago, Amazon, which was, early 2000s, an online marketplace, it realized that it had something valuable. It had this extra capacity on all of its computer servers that it wasn't using. And so what if we sold that? Now Amazon Web Services is the largest provider of cloud computing, and it accounts for like 3/4 of Amazon's profits. So,
it's
massively profitable. So banks are looking at this and think, well, what do we have that's like that, that we kind of have lying around that we could use ourselves, or we could also try to see if anyone wants to buy it? And they have risk management. That's what big banks are. They manage a lot of risk, and they see a lot of things, and they can analyze portfolios and that kind of stuff.
And in the case of Goldman, the developers would have to have a GitHub account in order to do this?
That's right. Anybody can open that account. There'll be certain types of data and certain types of analysis that you'll have to be a Goldman client, that you'll have to ask them for permission, and they'll share it with you. So, they're not throwing the doors totally wide open. This is a crack.
And some of Goldman's rivals are looking to do the same sort of thing.
Everybody's trying to figure this out. I would say the most advanced is probably JP Morgan, which has its own version of that database, SecDB, that we talked about. For the most part, they have spent their time in the commercial payment side. They have some very good technology that allows developers at big companies to get a very good, for example, real-time sense of their payments and their cash balances. I would say Goldman is more advanced on the trading side. But look, it's not a home run that this is going to work. There's so much, the expectations are so high at these really quantitative shops. They really want extremely good data. They want extremely good service, and they're very picky about the tech that they use. So if this isn't good, it isn't going to work.
All right. Well, we'll see if it does. Good reason to keep it tuned to the Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com, and Liz Hoffman's coverage of Goldman Sachs. And she's good enough to join us here in our studio. Liz, thanks for coming on the show.
Happy to be here.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.